9:06 on your Saturday morning. It is time for the Saturday Sports Connection on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app, presented by Surf Pro of Vermilion County. I'm Chad Baker. Down the line and in the islands, the coach, John Spezia. Coach, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Mr. Baker.
All right. Big, big show today. Lots of stuff packed into a tiny package. You're back this week. How are things going?
For the people, real quickly, I had the flu a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, I guess, and unfortunately got into my ankle and my leg and had to go in the hospital for about 5 days. Had cellulitis. This is the first time I really announced it, but yeah, I'm good. I'm out, feeling better. Had a big 3-3 event last night at Port Zante. That was probably the best event they've had. So the old coach is back. Can't get an old workhorse down. You know what I mean?
you're not ready for Old Yeller yet, right?
No.
Not by a long shot.
I've come down here to enjoy the weather and help the people here, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we're doing. Like I said, this is a great event we had yesterday. And just looking forward to always Saturday to talk to the old bird dog.
We're glad you're back in the saddle here this week. Well, thank our sponsors, your presenting sponsor, Surf Pro of Vermilion County, Surf Pro like it never even happened. Our good folks over at Latos Hardware in Westville, for all those hard-to-find items, visit Latos Hardware. Make sure you say hi to Fifi, our country financial agent, Dustin Ehler in Fairmount. He's there on the north side, North Main Street in Fairmount. Head over there for all your insurance needs. Make sure to check out his new digs. You've got the new office open. It's a beautiful facility. Our good friends over at OSF Healthcare, OSFHealthcare.org, of course, providing anywhere from urgent care and primary care to cancer and specialized care here in Danville in the Vermilion County area. Our good friends over at UHAS Diagnostic Center, they are off of exit 210 back on Route 150. As you're heading back to Danville, just hop on the frontage road off of Henning Road for your newest Napa Heavy Duty Truck Care Center. And for our good friends over at El Toro, 619 South Gilbert, for the best of Mexican dining, visit El Toro. And there again, I think a lot of people may be celebrating. You could get El Toro catering for all the festivities this evening as we bring you the special WITY Sports Special Edition of the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show. That's from 7 to 9 this evening. We'll talk with Coach Cameron Lee of Oakwood. We'll talk with Coach Mark Dodd of BHRA, Coach Guy Goodlove of Westville. In second hour, Joe Engel will join me for all the pairings. It'll be fun, and it'll be interesting to see how far of a distance we're going to get somebody here. I got a feeling that somebody's going to get that magical five-hour bus trip out there, with stops included. But yeah, let's dive right into it. Coach, sound good?
Sounds good to me. I watched some of the Westville game a little bit, and obviously when it gets running clock, I turn it off.
I about to say, it's always a quick show. So, again, we heard on our OSF Game of the Week last night here on WITY, Clifton Central knocks off Salt Fork 49-30. Clifton Central's Brady Shule wins the Ross's Boss of the Game, courtesy of State Farm agent Ross Webb. 10 completions, 13 pass attempts, 269 yards, 5 touchdowns. Our own Will Schell talked with Brady just after the game.
All right, so 5 passing touchdowns. How did that feel?
It felt pretty good.
So slow start, second half, you really started cooking. What did you see out there in the second half?
We made adjustments at halftime, and those adjustments worked.
Yeah, a lot of yards after the catch. What can you say about your ball catchers out there tonight?
There's some good ball catchers.
All right. Have fun. Enjoy this with the team. Good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you.
Yeah!
You can't tell me that they're not excited. They are 8-1. Salt Fork, hard-fought battle, 5-4. Their quarterback, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the game that he had, sophomore Zayden Bromley, 12 of 18 passing, 184 yards and a touchdown. Also had 18 rushes, 154 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. He's a special talent. He is going to be a centerpiece that they can build around the next couple of years here. But Salt Fork not out of it yet, 5-4, still sitting in the position to possibly get an at-large bid tonight in the playoff pairing show.
Well, you got to get, you remember, Salt Fork's 1A, mm-hmm. and Clifton Central, at least last I remember, they were 2A. So, mm-hmm. and you know, the jockeying up and down with this, sometimes guys move from 2A to 3A, sometimes mm-hmm. 2 to down to 1, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It all depends on the records at the end of the day today. They sort it out, and they get the 256 best teams or the eligible teams of what they have. And, yeah, you're right. The enrollment game definitely plays big into this. In a game last night at Peyton Moss, Oakwood defeats BHRA 21-13. Kyler Johnson for the Comets, 21 rushes, 177 yards, and 2 TDs. Maybe a little surprising there, Coach.
Yeah, that's a little bit surprising, and Coach Lee's done a great job there. And I know it was a rebuilding year for Coach Dodd, and it's the old Oakwood Comets have stepped up a little bit. And again, it's after a guy's been there 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. and has been consistent and has a lot to do with it. And of course, you know, both teams will be playoff teams.
Yep, Oakwood 7-2, BHRA 6-3. Westville pummels Iroquois West 52-13. 8 of their 9 games this year were running clock. Jack Eister, Lincoln Cravens, 2 touchdowns apiece for the 9-0 Tigers. Here, let's see here. Next, we got Hoopston area Armstrong Potomac over Watseka 44-19. You had a good one between Mo Mintz and Georgetown Ridge Farm Chrisman, and each team playing for their 4th victory of the year. The Mo Mintz squad defeats the Buffaloes 29-20. You have Peoria Notre Dame pounding Danville 54-13. The Vikings in their season 2-7.
I want to go back real quick with Hoopston, not Hoopston, but Georgetown. I remember when they had lost several games in a row. They're back a little bit, and it's, again, a coach being there for a while. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they definitely were much, much improved this year, and excited to see where they can go for that next step here. Paris over Casey Westfield, a little bit of an upset there last night, 22-17. Dawson Rogers, 19 rushes, 91 yards, a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, as Paris clinches a playoff berth last night.
Again, Casey Westfield, I believe, is a 1A, and Paris mm-hmm. is a 2A, I believe.
Yeah, actually, Paris might even be a 3. I have to check to see what enrollment looks like nowadays. So much of that has moved around. They'd either be a big 2A or a small 3A school.
Yep, you're correct.
Monticello over PBL, 14-6. Zeke Young for the Sages, 11 receptions, 128 yards, and a TD. Not often we get wide receiver numbers in here, but pretty stellar night there. You had St. Joe Ogden over Pontiac, 56-21. Cody McKinney for the Spartans, another great game, very efficient, 12 of 13, passing 136 yards. Also added 9 rushes for 51 yards on the ground.
I can't wait. It's a big matchup. You know what's going to happen. It's the Spartans and against the Rockets. It's going to come up before this is over.
Yeah, the Spartans eke in. They're 5-4. Well, they'll know tonight. And we speaking of the Rockets, Rockets make the long trip down to Mount Vernon, come out with a 55-37 win against a team that's 2 classes bigger than they are. Dane Eisenminger, 15-26, 357 yards, 5 touchdowns, added 6 rushes for 48 yards, 2 TDs on the ground. He becomes Unity's all-time leader in yards. I don't know how he did it. You do it through performances like that, definitely. IVC over Rantoul, 30-27. It was Sangamon Valley, 34, Tri-County, nil. Tri-County ends their season at 1-8. ALAH tops Villa Grove 49-26. 2 touchdowns for the Knights Easton Frederick. Over on the Indiana side, Seeger squeaks one out against Lafayette Central Catholic, holding them off 28-27. Jake Saltz, 2 TD passes, a rushing touchdown. Tucker Herndon, the difference maker, rushing touchdown with 25.7 seconds left in the contest. Sullivan puts a 70 spot on South Vermilion. What a difference a year makes. South Vermilion, a playoff team a year ago, 70-14. Clark French, 165 rushing yards and 4 TDs for Sullivan. South Putnam over Attica, 68-14. Drew Klein, 2 passing touchdowns for South Putt. Also had a rushing touchdown. Ty Benton, 2 rushing touchdowns and an 80-yard punt return for a TD. Riverton Park over North Vermilion, 46-6, led the way by Sean Vester, 18 rushes, 166 rushing yards, and a TD. As a team, Riverton Park, 500 team rushing yards in that contest. Frank,
it should be playoff times, right?
These are playoff games. So
that's what I thought.
Yep.
Okay.
Frankton over Benton Central, 59-32. Most of those Benton Central points were in a running clock situation. Eisenbarker, Kane Oakley, and Trey Bennett, two touchdowns apiece for Frankton, which moves on. That was their second win of the year. Fountain Central dumps Park Heritage 47-6, and a good back-and-forth battle, but Covington comes up short against North Central Farmersburg 28-26. Last weekend, you had Arcola CGB over Tri-County 20-0. Eight-man football today. Milford is at Decatur Unity Christian. Next week, you've got the continuation of the IHSAA playoffs, as Riverton Park will host North Central Farmersburg. South Putt will be at Fountain Central and Seeger at Lewis Cass in 2A over there. But, Coach, we have there again, IHSA playoff pairing show tonight. We'll find out where everybody's going. But process of elimination at this point in the year, our football segment's going to get a little shorter as the weeks go on here.
So the show's going to get a little, we have more to talk about. But it's coming. The playoffs times are good times. That's what you want.
Yep. And so Westville sitting on top of the heap in the VVC. You'll have Clifton Central, then Oakwood, BHRA, and Salt Fork as the five eligible teams, either through clinching or through the selection process tonight, all going. So another good year wrapped up, regular season for VVC. I'm ready for playoffs. It's going to be fun. Let's turn our attention now to cross country, as that is ended up getting into the postseason as well. Last weekend, Big 12 Championship, you had Danville placing eighth in the boys' meet, won by Peoria Notre Dame. Charleston Trojan invite. Taylorville wins the boys' meet. You had Paris placing sixth, CGRF, Crispin Georgetown Ridge Farm, 13th. Villagrove 17th, BHRA 20th. The BHRA girls would place on the girls' side with the team. They would place 11th. Peoria Heights, Patriot invite last weekend. Unity placed third, and St. Joe Ogden fourth in the boys' meet. St. Joe Ogden second, and Unity eighth in the girls' meet. PBL further down both lists. IHSAA sectionals last weekend, Rensselaer Central. You had Benton Central placing third as a team. That means they'll be in action today at regionals. More on that in a minute. Then a whole slew of individual runners advancing out of the Rensselaer Central Sectional, the Harrison Sectional, Terre Haute North Sectional last weekend. You had a triangular at Clifton Central this week. Iroquois West placed second in the boys' meet. There was four girls between the three teams in the girls' meet. And so that sets the stage for today, where you have down at the Cowchip course, Chrisman hosting Armstrong Potomac, BHRA Heritage, Chrisman Georgetown Ridge Farm, Schlarman, Oakwood Salt Fork, Paris, St. Joe Ogden, Unity, Villa Grove, and Westville all part of that. We had an opportunity to talk this week with Josh Steerwalt with Heritage Cross Country. Josh Steerwalt with Heritage Cross Country team. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Hi, glad to be here.
Let's talk about your team this year here. This is a team that's got a nucleus that's very experienced here. Some of the folks on the team here have been here for a couple of years, and you've kind of seen that grow yourself, being one of the members. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'm a senior. This is my fourth year, and our program's always been pretty good. Our team, every single year that I've been a part of it, we've been really close with each other. This year is the best team that Heritage High School has ever had for cross country. Our coaches told us that. Our principals told us that. Everybody's come up and told us that. We're bringing a lot of attention to ourselves. This year we won conference so far, and we're going into the season. We got regionals this Saturday. So, yeah, we're just excited for that. We're getting ready. We have Christian, who's coming off of injury, and we're going to use him for regionals here. He's been working up, and he's ready to go now. So we got that. And Clark is 14th in the state now, I think. So we're pretty excited to advance the sectionals, definitely, and really hoping to get the state this year. So
now, the interesting thing about the folks, the teams that are in the southern part of our area, is they ran a lot of the great cross-country courses I know that I experienced whenever I was in Effingham. So you guys get down and
see that Lakeland course, which Cumberland does now. It's their home course as opposed to where they were at the high school. Was there any course this year or maybe over your time in high school that was a favorite? Anyone that was just like, I don't like that? Or are you more of a hill runner or more of straightaway? Tell us a little bit about what your strengths are.
So I personally think the Lakeland course is pretty hard. We also do one where it's just our school and two other schools at the Homer Lake course, and that is probably the slowest that we run. Lakeland's definitely hard, though. My favorite course probably, though, would have to be, unpopular opinion, I really like Tuscola. There's just a lot of memories there, and I always just find it kind of fun to run. So with hills, a lot of teams really struggle on hills. If you ever seen the movie McFarland, it's about a cross-country team that they run up hills and they died on the hills every time. So the coach made them run hills over and over again. That's kind of what our coach made us do. We went to the Indiana Dunes and we did the three dune challenge there. We did a lot of other things where we were running up sand dunes the whole year. So we got into hills and you get to the hills at Lakeland and you're like, wow, this is nowhere near as hard as what we were doing in the summer. So he really prepared us for hills this year, because in the past it's always been, oh, there's a hill. Well, he tells us every single time we go up a hill, like, smile, like, laugh and just stare down the other people you're running against. And it's a lot of fun to do that, especially when I get to look across the course if I can and see like one of my teammates running up a hill and they're just beating everybody. It's great to watch. So
if you're ever at the dunes, just try it. Yeah, I mean, it's a monster, but it's no joke, is it?
No, it was really hard. I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, absolutely. All sand. Sand doesn't help you on that. Do you guys get over to Peoria during the regular season at all?
So we did the first to the finish race this year, first time ever doing it, and first time that I had ever ran in Peoria and the rest of the team as well, other than Clark, who went to state there 2 years ago. But other than that, nobody on the team had ever ran there. But I loved it. It was a really flat course, and most of us ran PRs that day.
In the process of running, where are you at on the team? Are you the one, the two, the three?
Right now, it's a pretty big battle for the 3, 4, and 5 spot. We're all pretty close together. With Christian coming back, he is definitely going to be taking back that second spot, although he will be competing with Grayson. But me, I'm kind of right behind Grayson right now. But we keep it really close in workouts, and then we're keeping it pretty close in races right now. So it could be anybody who's going to pass, you know, this time. Clark is definitely our fastest, though. So, yeah, I'd probably say I'm about fourth right now, though. I think Grayson's really good.
Very good. And of course, you know, with the team component of it too, the nice thing is you can go as an individual. It's always nicer to go as a team and have strength with the team there. All the way down to 7, obviously, would be nice. Is there anybody that you're seeing that's maybe one of the younger folks on the team that maybe peering into the future in the next couple of years is going to be somebody to watch out for?
Definitely Grayson Guevara. He is a beast this year. We went to Indiana and he was behind us the whole time. He's like, oh my gosh, this sucks. I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. And then we got into the season and he ran at Cerro Gordo, I think it was a 16:30, which for a freshman, especially somebody that didn't really want to be here at all, now is, I mean, he's one of our best runners. So definitely look out for Grayson Guevara. He's a freshman at Heritage High School. And look out for Christian Paul. He's a sophomore. He'll be kicking butt next year.
He can get it right now. I've seen some of his numbers. He's going to be up there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Very nice. We know girls a little tougher to get nowadays as far as a full team, but have had some success with girls cross country down here as well. What does that look like right now?
Right now, it is kind of a struggle. Reagan, she is a sophomore and she runs our social media page, and she's currently injured though. She's out for the season, but we're just hoping to have her back next year. She's a pretty good runner. She's definitely dedicated. And then we have Kiera, who is a senior, and she'll be running regionals. So, yeah, we only have 2 girls this year, but we all still stay pretty close as a team.
Well, and it's important as leaders of the team to maybe impress upon those younger kids that, hey, you know, running is fun. As long as you keep your legs going, you know, you're not going to have so many injuries that way. And you get to see so many great courses out there. And at the younger level there, too, because you guys have some 7th and 8th graders that actively show interest in cross country and want to do that. Does the future look maybe a little more solid on the girls' side for that, or is there always kind of an all call for girls to get involved with cross country?
Well, right now with the junior hires, we definitely have a decent junior high program. There's not as many girls as guys on that team, but they're all still pretty stretched out in age. We won't have any girls, I don't think, moving up to the high school levels next year. Maybe one, but they're all too young right now, but I really hope they stick with it and become better, because I know they can. So, yeah, hopefully our girls program will increase in the future. Right now, though, we really want to get a lot of people into it, and it's a small area, but we have the amount of people that we have for how small of an area is, I think it's pretty strength. So,
very nice. And, of course, with as small as schools, Heritage is, and fall sports, you got cross-country and volleyball, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had the one bass fishing event,
yeah.
Which is pretty flexible, but so many great opportunities for folks to get involved there. Josh, thanks for spending some time with us. All the best of luck at regionals and then the rest of your season and in the rest of your senior year as well.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
That is Josh Derwalt, courtesy of our Roofing Dog Mobile Studios, the trip we took this week to Heritage High School. And, of course, as we mentioned, Heritage part of that Crispin Regional today. Bishop Mack Regional will have Sista Park, Iroquois West, Hoopston area, PBL and Watseka, Danville and Rantoul. The big dogs go to Olney for that regional. That's an interesting regional because there's only like two teams that are south of Olney. Everything else is north for that that feeder regional there. So IHSA doing its good work to make people travel in excessive times. IHSAA regionals today at New Prairie, the Benton Central boys team, Benton Central girls, Madeline Peterson, Lorelei Raymond, Maggie Raymond, and Cecilia Fisher also competing there. Brownsburg regional, all local individuals from the area. Landon DeSpinnett of Seeger, his teammate Nicholas Walpe. You have John Pewterbaugh, Camden Shields of Park Heritage, Hayden Lawrence of South Vermilion, Alex Pate of South Vermilion, also of South Vermilion, Caven Mendoza McIntyre, Logan Drake of South Vermilion, Blake Todd of Riverton Park, along with Brian Todd, and William Schnellenberger of Riverton Park. On the girls' side, Maria Frasch, Claire Nern, Emily Green, all of Seeger, Lily Newland of Fountain Central, Adriana Hare of Seeger, North Vermilion's Riley Smith, Brianna Tryon, and Myla Leonard, and South Vermilion's Isabella Turchi, Bailey Dowdy, and Rachel Plank. A return trip for Turchi there, as she's had a couple of good years in her career with cross country. So lots of action today as cross country season winds up. We're up against our ABC Sports World break. When we come back, we have Tim Dittman of OSF Healthcare joining us for sports news. Healthcare news you can use, sports and wellness edition. We'll have soccer, girls tennis, volleyball, the whole 9 miles of it here. And even girls basketball coming up on the Saturday Sports Connection on WITY. Back in view.
Good morning, this is Judson Richards. World Series Game 1 in Toronto. Blue Jays hosting the Dodgers. Los Angeles struck first, but the Blue Jays offense, they didn't blink. In the sixth inning, Toronto held a 5-2 lead, and the bases were loaded for a pinch hitter named Addison Barger.
Well, Barger has been a big part of this team's success, and he's got monster power of the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball out towards right center field. On its way, it's a grand slam. Wow.
The call on ESPN Radio, John Shambi there, part of a 9-run sixth inning. Blue Jays led 11-2 until the seventh inning. Shohei Ohtani homered, but that would be all for the Dodgers. Blue Jays take game one resoundingly, 11-4 the final. Now to the NBA, where two expected contenders in the Western Conference met up in Los Angeles. Luka Doncic and the Lakers hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lakers leading by 16 in the fourth quarter. Doncic with his foot on the gas pedal.
Ayton cuts him off and then grabs the rebound. Got it to Rui, now to Luka. Lakers in no hurry. Here's Luka dribbling. Three-pointer by Luka. Good again. 45 for Luka. Timeout, Minnesota.
The call on 710 ESPN LA. Doncic scored 49 points and became the fourth player in NBA history to begin a season with back-to-back 40-point performances, leading the Lakers to a 128-110 victory over the Timberwolves. And the Trailblazers without head coach Chauncey Billups get a 20-point win over the Warriors. Miami Heat with no Terry Rozier take down the Grizzlies with a final of 146-114.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She can get a deal, but telehealth if she feels.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
Did you know ServPro does more than just restoration and reconstruction work? Well, winter is coming on soon, and most of us will be spending most of our time inside. If you are experiencing allergies or strange smells in your HVAC system, it may be time for your ducts to be cleaned. ServPro can schedule your duct cleaning today. Cleaning, restoration, and construction. Just one call. ServPro does it all. Visit them at ServProVermillionCounty.com.
UHAS Diagnostics is your new Napa heavy-duty truck care center, offering DOT inspections as well as diagnostics, tires, and oil changes, both in-shop and on-site. UHAS is a family-owned and operated shop that understands that life doesn't stop for vehicle issues. Ask about their shuttle service to and from the shop while they work on your vehicle. Call on the direct line at 217-213-6032 or visit UHASDiagnostics.com for full list of services or to make an appointment. Open Monday through Friday 7 to 7 and Saturday 7 to 12. UHAS Diagnostics, east of I-74, exit 210 between Danville and Oakwood.
Make every day a fiesta at El Toro, serving up all of your Mexican favorites. Try their daily lunch specials, served 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Have an event coming up? Spice it up with El Toro Catering for your next office lunch, wedding reception, or family reunion. El Toro has a vast menu to satisfy every craving. From exciting combination dinners to seafood, sizzling fajitas, and vegetarian options, El Toro has something for everyone. Celebrate flavor at El Toro, 619 South Gilbert in Danville.
Farming is more than an occupation, it's a way of life. This is Dustin Ehler, your country financial agent in Fairmount. And when you want to protect your farm, it goes a lot deeper than protecting your crops, buildings, and machinery. You want an insurance company with decades of farm experience, like Country Financial. We may have insured your parents' farm, even your grandparents' farm. Contact me, Dustin Ehler, your country financial representative at 205 South Main in Fairmount. Call 217-733-2154.
Welcome back to Saturday Sports Connection on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app, presented by ServPro of Vermilion County. Tim Dittman of OSF Healthcare giving us the sports and wellness healthcare news you can use.
Hi, it's Tim Dittman with OSF Healthcare, and this is Healthcare News You Can Use, Sports and Wellness Edition. You often hear about athletes and others needing hip, knee, or shoulder surgery, but you hear less about total ankle replacement surgery. If you have severe ankle arthritis and the daily pain that comes with it, it might be something to talk to your doctor about. Bryce Pashhold is a foot and ankle surgeon at OSF. He says a typical patient might start with conservative treatment like braces, physical therapy, injections, or lifestyle changes, such as ditching running for swimming as your exercise. But if it gets to surgery, Pashhold says technology has evolved in the last 10 to 15 years with custom, person-specific metal implants. He says the surgery involves less bone removal and outcomes are better.
We put a poly in between there, and that's kind of like the thing that allows for the motion, you know, between the joint. So it's basically we're kind of resecting out bone from both sides of the joint, which is getting rid of the arthritis, and to allow for, you know, to preserve motion.
Total ankle replacement is done under general anesthesia, and you'll stay at the hospital for a day or two for pain control and physical therapy. That physical therapy will continue on an outpatient basis. And for those first few weeks post-surgery, expect to use crutches or a scooter, and driving is off the table. Full recovery is about 6 months.
Right away, I mean, most people are happier just because they have less pain. But the people that I've done this on, you know, once they get through everything, I mean, they're really happy because they can, you know, they can function and really they can walk and go to the grocery store, go shopping without the pain that, you know, that kept them down before. So they're happy that they can just function, and, you know, and do daily living activities and kind of just feel like a normal person again.
The latest data show 90% of ankle implants still function well at 10 years. That's a big leap from previous generations and puts ankle implants on par with hip and knee. That's healthcare news you can use, Sports and Wellness Edition. For a podcast of these programs, go to WYTYradio.com. And for more on OSF Healthcare, visit OSFHealthcare.org. For OSF, I'm Tim Dittman.
Thanks, Tim. We have another episode coming up next week as part of our show. And, of course, it's autonomous online on our podcast section at WITYradio.com. Let's dive into boys soccer. Last week, IHSA Regionals getting underway. Bishop Mackens, Iroquois West season 6-0. It was Unity over Blue Ridge Land Weldon 3-0 at the St. Joe Ogden Regional. BHRA Regional had Georgetown Ridge Farm Westville defeating Schlarman 7-1. Then moving along, you had Mantino over Hoopston Area Armstrong Potomac 8-0. St. Joe Ogden shut down Unity 7-0. Urbana pounds Rantoul PBL 10-1. Danville over Centennial 4-3. Oakwood Salt Fork gets a win over Georgetown Ridge Farm Westville 4-1. Fisher GCMS over BHRA 2-1. That sets the stage for today. Regional championship, St. Joe Ogden versus Urbana Uni High at St. Joe. You have Oakwood Salt Fork and Fisher GCMS getting together at BHRA, Danville and Muhammad Seymour at Centennial. Then later on in sectional action this upcoming week, the winner of Oakwood Salt Fork GCMS or Fisher GCMS will take on the winner of Williamsville Meridian. The winner of the St. Joe Ogden Urbana Uni High winner will take on the Pleasant Plains Athens winner over at Williamsville. Going to girls tennis right now. Last weekend, the Danville sectional won as a team by the host team, Danville. Paris would place third. St. Joe Ogden tied for fifth. Schlarman and GCMS tied for ninth. Coming out of that, you had Peyton Keyes of Paris, Anna Haupt of Danville moving on in singles. The pairing of Moorer and Hess for Danville. Moreski and Bartos of Paris and Aaliyah Morgan and Rosabella Beyer of Danville all moving on to state as Anna Haupt was the singles sectional winner over Kruthi Ramanath. Great rivalry there between those two of Urbana Uni High in three sets. Peyton Keyes won third place over Catherine Raw of St. Thomas More, also a pretty strong tennis player. But all that heading into state finals Thursday, they had Anna Haupt went 3-0 first day. Peyton Keyes would lose her first two rounds. Morgan and Beyer would lose their first two rounds. Moreski and Bartos lose their first two rounds. And same with Moorer and Hess. Anna would go into day two yesterday. She would lose her first match, which was a quarterfinal match, to Nicola Kupchak of Chicago Latin, 6-1, 6-love, and then she would win in the consolation quarterfinals against Avery Moore of Triad, 6-love, 2-6, 10-3. So Anna back in action day three. Anytime you can make it to day three of the tennis state finals and that madhouse up there, always a big deal. And, of course, Anna continuing today, and she'll be playing for that fifth through eighth bracket up there at in the Chicagoland area. I don't know exactly where these are held because they've got like nine sites up there, so I think they jump around a little bit. And then, of course, this will wrap up the girls' tennis season here this weekend with her performance here today. In high school volleyball action, you had Vermilion County Volleyball Tournament both Saturday and Monday last week. That was won by BHRA over Westville in straight sets. Third place was Armstrong Potomac over Georgetown Ridge Farm. Salt Fork over Oakwood in the fifth place match. Sister Park goes 5-0 at the St. Thomas More Tournament, continuing their torrid season. They had IHSAA sectionals this week. You had in the championship at Covington, Faith Christian over Covington in four sets. At South Vermilion, Greencastle defeats the host team in three sets. At North Montgomery, Benton Central defeats Western Boone for the championship. And they continue today, Benton Central does, at Twin Lakes against Sheridan. The winner of that match later on will take on the winner of South Newton Marquette Catholic for the championship this evening. Benton Central will move on to, I believe it's, is it Super Sectionals? That's the next round over there. What's, Indiana, what's after regionals in the Indiana?
It goes sectional, regional, semi-state.
Okay, so semi-state would be what they're playing for today over there on the volleyball side. So there again, volleyball starting to wrap up as well. We've got IHSA volleyball action, the regional starting this upcoming week. And where did I put that? I apparently did not print all that out. It's on my stuff at home. So there again, I have been ill-prepared. I could probably pop it up here in the studio, but we've got a whole host of different matchups coming up this week for high school volleyball in IHSA. I tell you, Coach, usually I feel like I did pretty good, but then I come away with something like this where I make my volleyball schedule and then I'm out of it. But you know what? I tell you, you know, you lose things whenever we get into the season of football playoff pairings, and then it just sort of unravels from there. So we do have, once I can pop it up here, here we go. Coming up this week, like I said, opening rounds for regional action. And in 1A, it will be, as I scroll down here and kind of freelancing as I need to, everything feeding into that Hayworth Super Sectional. You do have the Fisher Regional, which will have Georgetown Ridge Farm taking on Blue Ridge. Oakwood, it will be over there as well, taking on Fisher. Those are both Tuesday matchups. At the Leroy Regional, Salt Fork and Schlarman on Tuesday, Armstrong and Heritage on Tuesday. You got Sista Park going up to the Streeter Woodland Regional. They will be facing Milford in a 1-16 matchup on Monday to continue and to advance in that. Grant Park Regional is where Watseka will be. They will have their opening match on Wednesday. And then Casey Westfield Regional. There again, our volleyball team scattered everywhere. They will have Chrisman and Tri-County in the second match on Monday. And Villa Grove, also part of that regional, will take on Lawrenceville on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, as it were. And then in 2A, we've got, I believe, Paris will be there. I think Rantoul is part of that, if not 3A. And then it all shakes out from there, Coach. That's kind of where it's at here. So regional week coming up for IHSA. Tell you what, let's take a – oh, wait, we got girls basketball. Yes, girls basketball is starting. I forgot to mention that. We've got scrimmages starting on Thursday. Covington at Crawfordsville, South Putnam at North Vermilion, and Riverton Park at South Vermilion for girls basketball action. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit DAC Sports and got a surprise interview that even Coach doesn't know about when the Saturday Sports Connection continues on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, the WITY radio app, presented by Surf Pro Vermilion County.
Did you know ServPro does more than just restoration and reconstruction work? Well, winter is coming on soon, and most of us will be spending most of our time inside. If you are experiencing allergies or strange smells in your HVAC system, it may be time for your ducts to be cleaned. ServPro can schedule your duct cleaning today. Cleaning, restoration, and construction. Just one call. ServPro does it all. Visit them at ServProVermilionCounty.com.
This is Fifi the Cat from Leto's Hardware. The store is stocked with great tools to pick up what falls down, like rakes, scoops, and bags for falling leaves, and shears and saws for branches. Squirrel away fallen nuts with our easy-to-use nut gatherers. I haven't been able to catch a squirrel, but you can catch everything you need for fall at Leto's Hardware in Westville. Keep up with my weekly deals on Facebook. Leto's Hardware, where we do it best.
Need care that's easy and quick? OSF On-Call Urgent Care does the trick. For illnesses that can't wait, virtual visits are first rate. Feeling sneezy and wheezy? Getting care is quick and easy. For 24/7 care that's easy to find, OSF On-Call Urgent Care virtual visits offer peace of mind. Start a visit at any time, day or night, at osfoncall.org/virtualvisit.
Welcome back to Saturday Sports Connection, 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app, courtesy of Surf Pro of Vermilion County. DAC Sports, volleyball knocked off Joliet, JC Highland as well last weekend, lost to Lincoln Trail in a tough five-set match. You had, of course, college baseball, softball still going through fall ball here. You had the DAC Jamboree last weekend. Women's basketball had a scrimmage with Indiana Kokomo. College golf, the men placed sixth at the Parkland College Cobra Fall Classic. Today, or last night, exhibition for the DAC men against St. Louis Community College. Danville area was over at Ohio State for college softball. College cross country, Thomas Wells leads the way, 17th place at the NJCAA Regionals at Normal for DAC Sports there. This upcoming week, you've got men's college basketball, Moraine Valley in town, women's college basketball, Wayne County here, and college volleyball, Prairie State here. Coach, got a good buddy of yours in an interview, Coach Ken Crawford, talking Basketball Museum of Illinois, and it's going to be a event that's coming up to Rossville Alvin here this week. Here's what he had to say. On the highline at this time, we've got the legendary Hall of Fame championship coach from Topless Wooden Shoes back in years, Ken Crawford, with us here to talk about this event coming up on Wednesday, coming up this week, 6 to 8:30 p.m. It's going to be at Rossville Alvin Gym, and it is celebrating the legacy of East Central Illinois basketball with the Illinois Basketball Museum of Illinois. Coach Crawford, a pleasure having you on here on the Saturday Sports Connection. How you been?
Well, I'm doing great, Chad, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I was back up to Rossville this past Saturday for an all-school reunion, which is really enjoyable, really well put on. It was, I can't imagine how many man hours it took to organize that thing, but it was really a pleasure to be there. But I love my years there at Rossville.
Well, Coach, you're going to be coming back up here once again, emceeing this event and celebrating the history of beloved schools, some of those schools that are now part of other conglomerations and consolidations. We have Rossville, Alvin, East Lynn, Wellington, Stockland, Sheldon, Rankin, Seidel, Jamaica. You have Buckley, Loda, Crescent City, Catlin, Potomac, and Henning all listed here. And I'm sure there's going to be some other folks.
You know, those are just a sample. You know, you got Fairmount in there, to Indianola. I mean, there's some rich history there in East Central Illinois, and so those are just some examples that we utilized. Yes.
Well, I know one thing that me and Coach has talked about on the show before is you go back 50 years, every town had, I mean, and there's still a lot of schools in Vermilion County, but you think at one time there was probably 2 to 3 times as many. Each community had their own school, and of course, a little bit different time then. I don't think people had 40 mile per gallon gas vehicles back then, and you know, it was a little tougher to walk to school versus the bus transportation that they have available Nowadays.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of smaller schools due to financial reasons and falling enrollment too. Therefore, you had a lot of consolidations. Then it got to a situation where schools were actually co-oping also. So there's been a lot of changes in the last 35 to 40 years in the layout and the demographics of particularly the small schools.
Absolutely. Taking a look at the history, but also recognizing kind of its place in common times or current times, I should say. In current times, you have a lot of smaller schools right now. They're struggling with enrollment. You see some of the schools like Chrisman, which about 100 kids. You see some of these schools like Heritage, which has consolidated a couple schools and still a very, very small fall enrollment and farther between some of these other schools, to where even a further consolidation or a co-op agreement might be difficult in some of these schools. So we see sports sometimes getting on the chopping block. From somebody that's had the years of experience that you've had, and obviously had coached in a little bit better times, a little more competitive times for some of these schools, what does that look like from your vantage point?
Well, when I started as a grade school 7th, 8th grade coach at Newman. And, of course, Newman is now consolidated, you know, with another community. And I remember going to play at one of our games was at Indianola. You know, of course, they're consolidated. And but there was once a high school in Indianola. But it was the grade school by the time that we played them. And that old gym, I think, eventually burned down. But that gymnasium, the free throw circles almost came to the center line. I mean, it was very, very unique. And but at any rate, then I went from there. Of course, I was at Mount Zion for a year, and then I got the varsity job at Rossville.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the schools then were just starting to make that transition, you know.
Right.
East Lynn was already in with Hoopston. Rossville and Allen obviously had consolidated. But now it's gone much, much further down the road. And like you say, with falling enrollment, I think it's really important, I guess what I'm trying to say, I think it's really important that we honor and recognize those small schools that did consolidate. And a lot of people don't even realize, you know, that at one time Wellington had a school by itself, that Sheldon had a school, you know, a high school. As I was looking through that list, when I was at Rossville, Alvin, of course, they're with Bismarck now.
Yeah.
Okay. But Wellington was still a school. These were schools that were actually on our schedule.
Sure.
Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon was still on it. Rankin was still on it. Jamaica, before they consolidated, we had that school on it. Catlin was on our schedule, you know, and Potomac was on our schedule. So, I mean, we played a lot of those schools that are no longer in existence that they are. And so I think it's important that people realize and honor the history of basketball in East Central Illinois, and particularly schools that they've never heard of.
These little schools in the cornfield, they were much smaller at one time, and there was a lot more of them. And now you're bussed in, and, you know, it's 15-minute, 20-minute ride on the bus to get you to school. And sometimes even a longer ride if you're consolidating sports in some of those instances. But
right.
That's where we're at.
You know, the other night as I was driving down to the other afternoon and evening, as I was driving down to Rossville for that reunion, of course, you know, I went right past Potomac. Well, Potomac was the first varsity basketball game I ever coached, was Rossville Allen versus Potomac.
Yeah.
And I passed by the road that led into Armstrong. You know, of course, they're consolidated now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the big thing about this evening is we want people from all of these, for as many schools as we can get, to come down and come to Rossville Alvin, the old high school, and it's the grade school now, and come to the gym, okay? And part of the program, we'll talk some about the history, a little bit of the history of the Rossville Alvin Holiday Tournament, which was, you know, a great tournament, great 16-team tournament back in the day. And it's not a situation where I'm going to sit there and give them a history lesson. We want people to bring their stories. We're going to have open mic and whatever, and we want people to tell the stories because they were there. We just don't want them to, but we want to be a little careful because we're going to ask for them to be truthful things because I'm going to bring up a few things that are going to be somewhat controversial as to who scored this basket, who did this or who did that, as far as a few things. I've talked to guys for years who will tell you, well, I scored the last basket in this game and that basket. And we want that type of interaction.
Yeah.
Then there may be somebody in the back corner said, no, you didn't, I did. So, and, you know, I may have to referee some fights. But, no, seriously, we want people to come. We want it to be an enjoyable thing. We want them to bring their stories. We want them to bring memorabilia. If they have an old uniform from Stockland or from Wellington, or, you know, or Potomac or whatever, bring the doggone things. We're going to have, you know, if they've got scrapbooks or any type of memorabilia, old programs,
there are
going to be tables set up you know, to display these things. I guess what I'm trying to say, it's going to be a very, we hope for it to be a very interactive program. It's not just going to be somebody up there talking all night. I promise, only tell three or four stories.
And we know that memorabilia is out there. We know those folks are out there, and it's an opportunity for folks to come up. There's the open microphone for players, coaches, officials even, you know. I mean, this is back in the day when, officials were chided a little bit.
I was reluctant to that one. No, seriously. The officials, these guys were so valuable to what happened, and there's so many stories. I've got at least one official story I'm going to tell, maybe two.
Yeah.
We want fans. We want officials.
Oh, yeah.
We want old school school administrators, school teachers, anybody who just wants to come in and talk about the history of some of this stuff. I just hope people will come, share those stories, and my advice to them is, well, the first liar probably won't have a chance.
Well, and you don't want it to necessarily get to the point of the evening where it's like, where it's all lies, do you?
No. Well, that's always a possibility when people start talking about history.
Absolutely. So bring your stories, your treasures, uniforms, trophies, photos, banners. And they're getting on. We know that there's a lot of that out there because in some of these situations, schools have closed and they set out boxes. It's sad to say, but or in some instances, some of the trophy cases, but I know some of these folks nowadays were like, no more room in the trophy case. So then some of those plaques and trophies get out there and they get in the hands of the folks in the community. If there's somebody out there preserving their own history, this is a great opportunity for folks to see that again.
That's right. That's correct. You're absolutely correct. That's the purpose of the evening. And we're obviously also promoting, we'll have the Illinois Basketball Museum director there, Bruce Fershaw. He has to be one of the leading historians in the state of Illinois as far as Illinois high school basketball. He's got an amazing mind, things he can remember and the things that he knows about the history of Illinois basketball. So I think it's just going to be a very enjoyable evening. We hope that it is. We hope we have a really nice, get a lot of people out there and maybe meet some old friends too, or see some old friends that you haven't seen in 30 or 40 years. So
it's going to be a great time. It's coming up Wednesday. We failed to mention, admission is free. So it's a free event. Come taking donations for the Basketball Museum of Illinois. That's up in Bedford Park. That is welcome. But just come out and reminisce and think about the good old days of all these small schools and those basketball programs.
That's right. The date is Wednesday, October 29th. If the time is from 6 to 8:30, the location is at the old Rossville-Alvin. It's the Rossville-Alvin Grade School.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the west side of Route 1 there.
Yeah.
As you come into Rossville, mm-hmm. And there's plenty of parking. There'll be plenty of room there.
They've got parking out front and out back next to where the football field was. It's
soccer field.
Yeah. So.
But it's going to be a great evening.
We'll definitely mark it on the calendar coming up on Wednesday. Coach Ken Crawford, thanks for spending some time with us. We'll definitely circle back around in the future because we definitely want some stories of maybe a little bit later in the year. We'll talk maybe some Sweet 16, Elite 8 history. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me, Chad. It's always a pleasure talking with you and always a pleasure working with you.
The Coach Ken Crawford. Coach, we got about 30 seconds left there, but you've been involved with the museum for a while as well. And it's going to be a great event coming up.
Well, it will be a great event for all those people. And they've done some stuff. I know they had a thing out at one of the restaurants with people in Vermillion County. So it's kind of like the same thing. The museum, if you remember right, I was one of kind of instigated it way long time ago, some probably when I retired from the college or close to it. And that's how I got involved. And we talked about it. I had Jeannie Cook and Scott Eisenhower go to Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. We just took off from there. And we thought we had it in Danville, but it just didn't. And I stayed with it when I went to Pontiac. Now it's in Chicago. So, yeah, I'm a big supporter of it. So.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll be back with the playoff pairing show tonight at 7. Coach, I'll talk to you next Saturday.
Okay.
WITY Danville.